Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it. Well, today is a kind of special day. We're live from the New Jersey Safe Conference, and we're doing a monster cast with the Bear Arms podcast.
Roar.
Welcome, John.
Roar.
Roar.
That's John and Mike Willett we hear down there, and it's Anthony here. Guys, come on, say hello. It's half show, too.
Oh, I know. This is John Willett, typically from the Bear Arms Show. Happy to be here at the NJ Safe Conference with Anthony, Sandy, and my brother Mike.
Dude, happy to be. You are the reason we are here.
I'm a mellow dude. I take it easy.
Anybody's missing this, it's October 3rd. We're down in Cumberland County Community College. A couple of hundred patriots down here, and various vendors and conferences and diversity discussions and all kinds of stuff. And we're going to be rotating in and out. We only have 4 mics. We have a bunch of guests. Since we have too many mics, Mike is going to go first. So, Mike, say hello and then say goodbye.
Hello. Goodbye.
He'll be back for the next segment, ladies and gentlemen. And our guest coming on to the studio right now in this hallway is Alexander Rubian, president of the NJ2AS and spearheading RecallSweeney.com.
While he's getting settled, I just want to say this is a who's who event of Second Amendment in New Jersey. I am absolutely astounded by the people that we've gotten to turn out here today. It's been fantastic.
I mean, everybody's here.
Everybody. And that's all thanks to your hard work.
So. Well, thank you.
Give me my phone. Can we ask them to lower that simulator, please, a little bit?
That's a simulator?
Tell Rick he's next.
Now, if anyone's listening to this, what you're hearing is the sound of RTSP's firearm simulator going off in the lobby. There are a bunch of people out there having a fantastic time playing around with that thing.
If you miss this, you're foolish. Well, we can maybe try to get them back next year, I hope.
I think they'll be back.
I think we're going to have a much bigger venue next year, but I want to personally thank everyone that attended today. Alexander, you're here. You haven't been on my show in a while. I don't know how long it's been since you've been on John's show. Let's get an update on what's going on, please.
Yeah, we're kicking butt. We just got a lot of our packets back. Like I explained in the last show, email me. We'll mail you a packet. That way we can all be down there at the same time. I don't have to run back and forth to getting packets signed out to people. So we just got another box back from everyone about a week ago. I'm estimating there's probably around 2,500 verified and cross-reference signatures. So I'm going to guess right now we're probably around 13,000 to 14,000 signatures.
Halfway there?
Well, a little less than halfway. There's about 2 months left. Guys, I cannot emphasize how important this is. We have to submit everything by December 2nd. And we have about 14,000 signatures. Which is not that far away. About 2 months. Actually, I think it's 2 months to the day. And this is with 30 to 50 solid volunteers coming down every weekend and getting it done. And imagine we had 500 volunteers doing this every weekend. It would have been done last month.
I know the question I've been asked about it is, when are we going to have the next big event for signatures?
Well, we're planning a Super Saturday, and probably have one maybe in 4 weeks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and then also I want to also emphasize, we were going through our data, and there's going to be an upcoming election to vote for new assembly people. So we have identified a district that the Republicans only lost by 102 votes.
Wow.
And that's with their campaign having I reached out to the former candidates, having 7 people, just their friends and family, helping out and campaigning for them. Imagine we did another Super Saturday for those candidates to go out and give out educational material, and we've filled their district up with 500 pro-Second Amendment individuals. The icing on the cake with that one, it's the neighboring district to Loretta Weinberg. So if we want to give her the shaft and give it to them good, that's what we have to do. So we're planning that now. Expect a release to come out probably in the next week or so. But try to keep that weekend of November 1st open. That's a Sunday. And then the 31st is Halloween. That's a Saturday. Let's do it again, guys. Imagine we get 2 assembly people out and we get the Recall Sweeney done. How we can celebrate the end of the year.
Well, that'd be great. So how do people help with recallsweeney.com?
Recallsweeney.com. Email me, Alex, at recallsweeney.com, and then we'll get out a packet to you. I became a notary. One of our other members became a notary, so we'll be down there all the time notarizing. And that just kicked butt. I mean, the numbers are there. I mean, John, you're getting a PhD in math. I mean, we went over the numbers.
Finance specifically.
Okay.
But same thing.
The other thing I want to mention is, too, is I love this new method that you're talking about where you're empowering people to be able to go out and not have to rely on you to be there with them when they're...
That's another great thing. I mean, this is what I love. Everyone's coming forward, and this is the kind of stuff that matters. Forget about writing letters. Forget about doing a billboard. Forget about making phone calls. The only thing they care about is their power and getting reelected. If we get these people out of office, forget about turning New Jersey red, purple, or whatever. If we knock out a few candidates, all right, that is power. And from what happened in a Recall Sweeney launch event, I already got phone calls from 3 candidates begging and asking for assistance. Now, we can't formally endorse or promote or get involved in elections because of our nonprofit status, but what we can do is give out educational material about a candidate. And it's really easy in Jersey because the Democrats are always anti-gun. So technically, by law, we have to invite these people to speak at an event or, you know, get educational material out. But it's just so black and white. The Republicans are always going to vote one way. The Democrats are going to vote for another way. It's always a partisan issue. But the beauty of it is this stuff works. The only thing these people care about is getting reelected. And they see us and they know we're on their radar because they're coming after us now. They're calling me up. They're emailing me. I have proof and evidence of this, which shows that we're being effective.
I would like to thank you for giving us some numbers so we can see the progress that you're making. And, you know, being transparent with that, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you for that.
That's the most important thing. And like I said, every weekend between 30 to 50 people are showing up, going down there to the district. And it's already, I'm going to estimate this last box of people, the last box we received the petitions, is going to contain around, from rough numbers, around 2,500, bringing us close to 15,000. So.
Wow.
Well, we also know we're being effective, too, because Sweeney is kicking back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. You see how he's taken back. Mm-hmm. You see what he's trying to do with that override of the governor's veto.
He's trying to get as much grandstanding as possible to make it look like he's only being taken out by the psychopaths with trigger fingers.
Exactly. The funny thing is, not even funny, but they don't discuss about the due process that you go through when you get an expungement. When you get an expungement, the judge has discretion. The judge reviews the application. He can say this person still is mentally ill or is not. We have our lawyers on it that actually do the expungements. And they're telling us this is a bunch of bogus grandstanding going on from the Democrats trying to demonize Christie and the Republicans.
So recallsweeney.com and your email contact?
It's alex@recallsweeney.com.
You know, John, what a lineup of speakers and everything you got here. Alex, thank you.
Thank you, guys. And thank you so much, John, for putting this together.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, in 2 weeks, Knappen will be on Gun for Hire Radio. Email me your questions for Knappen to answer on air in 2 weeks. Thank you.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire Radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And we're back. With a little feedback.
Yeah, that's live for you, right?
That's what happens.
So, this segment, we have a new guest. His name is Chris Hunt. He's representing the Leadership Institute. And I think I'd like to turn it over to him to tell us what the Leadership Institute is about and who they're looking for.
Sure. Thanks, John. Obviously, as you heard, my name is Chris. And I'm from LI, which is Leadership Institute. It's a do tank, it's what they call it, based out of Arlington, Virginia. It was started in 1979 by Morton Blackwell. It typically runs conservative, but we kind of take everybody. But my actual reason for being here is to identify and encourage all the pro-gun students and just everybody who's college age throughout New Jersey. They have to become more involved on their own campuses if we're going to at least, you know, change the society and change how the voting goes for the Second Amendment. By creating a visible alternative to the typical liberal groups on campus, it'll show that conservatives and gunners have a very strong and good voice on their campus. A pretty good example of this is actually at the University of Delaware. They have a really strong Students for the Second Amendment group, and I really want to replicate that somewhere in Jersey, at least during this semester. LI would actually be able to help them very much. I'm a field rep, so I'm able to go and assist them in recruiting, in funding them, and even providing free materials, which is always good, you know, free swag for kids.
Now, I just want to ask you, you know, who, what, when you say you're looking for college students, you actually have a couple of college students up here with Mike and I. And okay. I'm just curious, are you looking for people that are like in a four-year school, or they're graduate students? Who are they?
Typically, I mean, usually for four-year schools, because they'll be there a while. Grad students, it's kind of harder. But I mean, if you guys want to like lead the charge, at least, or be a outside advisor for a group, does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, so is that, yeah?
No, that makes sense.
Yes. Okay.
I have to say, though, when I met you, Christopher, I all of a sudden got hope for the future, because I was a little dismal coming in the past couple of days, and I see that there are a lot of young conservatives.
Oh, yes. We're here. We're all here. Dude,
what's it like on campus for a young conservative?
Surprisingly, it's not too bad if you engage people in the right way. If you don't come down and you like just try to attack them, if you have a civil conversation,
right,
usually they actually might even agree with your ideals. So,
I don't think we're too far apart, because there's a tremendous move, I think, to libertarianism.
Absolutely.
You know, and if anyone asks me, I say I am a classic liberal, which I am. You know, I leave me the hell alone, get out of my life, let me be on my own. Mm-hmm. I am. We built this country on rugged individualism, and we don't really, the collective ruins everything.
Yeah, actually, libertarianism is huge on campus. There's actually a few groups that are dedicated specifically to liberty in mind, like Young Americans for Liberty. It's a huge organization.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting is you start to see a swing of a lot of hardcore left people who would label themselves as socialists going to Bernie Sanders' camp, right?
Right.
But you also see a lot of libertarians, and you see a lot of people in the middle running to Bernie Sanders' camp, and it's because, not that they want a 90-year-old socialist as a president, it's because he's speaking truth, and he's coming out and saying, look, this is BS.
Hey, he's got a fresher message than Hillary.
Yes,
and,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Even though, how old is Bernie Sanders?
A thousand, I think. He knew Moses, I think. He's got, in fact, Moses and he were, you know, in
best
school
friend.
Together, best friends. They played on the same ball team, right. I believe.
You know, I'd be interested, Mike, with you going to school, I don't know if you can attest to this or not, but do you think that, you know, having a conservative or a different type of viewpoint makes you strengthen your arguments as you're going through school?
I think so. You have a community that you keep building upon. And as you keep building, actually, you can spawn more groups. And as you spawn those groups, the liberals start to think, wait, what's going on here? Right. And you kind of show a position of strength.
So my point of view is on the flip side of the coin, because I live in Idaho, where we're mostly conservative.
Right.
We have fewer liberal groups and more conservative groups, and pro-gun groups are more abundant,
right,
to say. And I'm part of the veteran community, so we have a lot of pro-gun veteran activities. And actually, we have a shotgun group that's part of the campus, and we go to shoot. We go and shoot skeet.
Okay.
On campus?
I don't think.
Well, it is right on the lake.
Wow, that's kind of cool. I mean, I would come out there. I don't know why it's you not know, like think, that in New Jersey.
I think this conversation just veered right into Sandy's wheelhouse, yeah. Right?
That is, this is all Anthony's doing, because he's the one who gave me my first shotgun, which is why I'm what he calls a FUD now. So, but yeah, that's pretty cool. So it's not really part of the school then, Mike? It's
a group in the student union. So part of the student union is having activities for the students to participate in, and they invite everyone to start their own group, and one of the groups is a ski club.
Nice.
And I believe they travel around to different ski ranges in the area.
Cool.
So with the Leadership Institute, if you have students who are interested in getting involved in that, how do they get involved? Who do they talk to?
Sure, you can talk to me, especially if you live in Jersey. I'm actually trying to actively start at least one pro-gun group at this, you know, with Junction this semester. If they want to contact me directly, they can. It's pretty easy. All you have to do is email me at chunt@leadershipinstitute.org. And I'll get back to you whenever I can. I mean, it should be soon. Not a lot of people email me.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like ours, too. Not a lot of people email us. So, you're seeing a great resurgence of conservatism on the campuses.
Oh, yeah. This semester has been pretty good so far. I mean, I'm only getting started, and I feel like I've gotten quite a few conservative, even libertarian groups just to start springing up.
How about in New Jersey specifically? Are you seeing a difference between Delaware, say, and New Jersey, or?
I haven't really been to Delaware too much. There's not a lot of campuses on Delaware. There's probably like 10.
Yeah, right.
So, University of Delaware is pretty good. They have a very strong Second Amendment group. So,
which is not surprising. Even considering it's Joe Biden's state, it's still not surprising, because once you cross the line from New Jersey into Delaware, you've got an entirely different mix of people.
You do, absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, South Jersey really is a whole different state compared to North Jersey.
It is.
You've got a lot more cabbage down here, too. Yeah, a lot of cabbage. I passed a lot of cabbage on the way in here, and people picking it in the rain. What is it with the Second Amendment groups meeting where it always sideways rain? You know, right, with 50-mile-an-hour gusts.
I believe we refer to that as the 2A cloud.
The 2A cloud. All right, we're coming right back.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward at a firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And we're back. And we've got a new guest. I don't know how we got past security, but Dan is here. John, you want to introduce Dan?
Yeah, we have Dan Roberts, writer for Ammoland, father of the great Cheyenne Roberts.
Thanks, right? Guys.
How does that feel?
Yeah, she's definitely the rock star here today, not me.
Yep. Yeah, no matter where she goes, it's always, oh, are you with Cheyenne?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's nice.
The entourage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, now she was joking about wanting a security detail because she recently got selected for student council.
Wow, very nice. So, well, you know.
You know, now I'm being told I have to. Well, yeah. Now I have to put the little flags on the bumpers of my SUV and get the windows all blacked out.
Of course, I'm telling you, Dan, these politicians are just out of control.
I know. You know, they get elected to something, all of a sudden they have this big head.
So my understanding is you want to tell us about a column that you're writing for Ammoland, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, everybody at this point knows about the murder of Carol Bound in the summer.
Unnecessary tragedy, yes.
Absolutely. And I knew immediately that the story that was being related in the press by the chief of police about, you know, the reason for the delays of her firearms ID card and permits and all that, I knew as soon as I heard it was a lie. So I started looking into it in my capacity as a columnist for Ammoland, and I found out some shocking details that no one has reported on up until today, as far as I know.
So we're releasing this right now. We're breaking news.
Breaking news story. I have an email from the spokesperson for the FBI NICS unit that stipulated that the fingerprint processing is done and the results are returned to the requesting agency within 4 hours. I have the email.
So 30 days. It was past 30 days. How many days was it when she was murdered?
I think she was
42 or something?
Yeah, 42 or 43.
Oh, so 43 days and 4 hours.
According to the FBI, they're done in 4 hours.
Are they going to issue the permit now, posthumously? Or
I don't think so.
Oh.
Well, it gets worse. If it could get worse, it gets worse.
Wow. All right, go ahead.
I checked with the county clerk's office who handles the mental health records portion of the background check in New Jersey, and they said they're in the middle of switching over their paper files to a computerized system, but generally it takes about 3 days. if they have to go look through a physical file for a piece of paper, no more than a week for the mental health records check to be done.
Wow.
Shocker. Wow.
So the entire, every excuse that the chief of police gave for why there was a delay in her processing, we now know is a lie.
So this isn't they're waiting to assemble all these disparate pieces of information. This is either they have entirely too many applications.
You can tell we've just elevated the conversation
over
here because you use the word disparate. Anthony would not know what disparate was. I'm happy. It's good that he's out walking the floor right now. We've got you and Mike
actually,
here.
He's right there.
Schmooze. Oh, there he is. Well, yeah. That's fine. It's just don't let him know. Otherwise,
so. But it's not that they're assembling all these different pieces of information, you know, over the course of 40 days or 6 months or whatever it is that they're taking. You know, it's either they have a backlog of applications. I know when I've gone in to get firearm permits, they have a stack on their desk that you won't believe. You know, and we're doing this to get a background check for the purpose of getting another background check with
right.
NICS.
Correct.
And the chief of police originally, to go back to what you're talking about, apparently wasn't even aware of the law that said it was supposed to be issued within 30 days.
Right.
So I don't understand why he would
I
don't understand why we would have to go to these excuses of getting these pieces of information, which we now know that they all in all likelihood already had. And it should have been expedited, and she was someone who was following up on this. And, you know, it just breaks my heart, and it enrages me that we have to bear this cost for the radical gun control that goes on in this state.
Absolutely. I've said for years that there are a certain arbitrary number of sacrificial lambs on the altar of gun control is acceptable to people like Loretta Weinberg and Lou Greenwald and the rest of the cobble of pro-state-mandated victimhood supporters in New Jersey. And then there's one more detail that hasn't been reported yet. I spoke to several...
Wait, you're telling me there's more to
there's
this?
There's one more.
Oh.
I spoke to several of Carol's family members. They asked to remain anonymous for fear of retribution.
How sad is that? Sad is that?
According to them, and I have no reason to believe that they're exaggerating or making this up, according to them, they saw her killer in various locations at various times in town, knew that he had a warrant for his arrest, called the police, told them where he was, and nothing was done.
Well, you know, if this was anywhere other than New Jersey, she would have been issued a carry permit, she would have had a firearm, she would have been able to stop exactly what happened and saved her own life.
Absolutely.
Which is why we fight so hard, because what happens in New Jersey doesn't stay in New Jersey. We say that all the time. This is like a cancer that spreads throughout the nation and throughout the world. It's kind of interesting. I mean, between our two shows, we probably have, I know we're in 65 countries. I know you guys got to be in a ton. And people just don't grasp this.
I have a soft spot in my heart for a listener in North Korea. I really do.
Kim Jong.
That's just about
Shout out
it.
To Kim Jong.
Yes, that's right. Yes, this is true. And anybody behind the, but they are behind communist block walls like we are here too.
Right.
So the only difference would be we don't really have Constantino wire yet. Around the state, which we should
no,
have.
No, we just have to pay to leave.
Yes, we do have. Yes, there is an exit tax here. When you sell your home, they charge you
and,
to go.
And your final shot is your that $5 toll going across the bridge.
Oh, yes. So if you're
right
listening
to
this from out of state, do not come to New Jersey, to Atlantic City, because that is probably one of the most dangerous cities I've ever seen.
Oh, I worked there. Yeah. Years ago, I worked there for a private company that had the EMS contract.
Oh.
And outside the little oasis of the casino zone.
If that's what you want to call
it. You might as well be in Beirut.
Yes. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Me and my partner would regularly get attacked because they thought we carried narcotics on the ambulance.
Great. You had a, you know what? Driver does not carry cash. You have to put the driver does not carry needles or narcotics.
Yeah, that's, I felt safer working in Camden, taking a little old lady home from dialysis at 3 in the morning than I ever felt working in Atlantic City on an ambulance.
Oh, well, I don't blame you at all.
Absolutely. When it comes to gun laws in New Jersey, we are living in a Greek tragedy. We have people speaking at the conference today who are victimized by the gun laws, and then we see that the gun laws that are put in place supposedly to make us safer are actually getting people hurt and or killed.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Look, I have to play devil's advocate because look at how low the crime rate is in New Jersey. I have no trouble wandering with children at 2 o'clock in the morning in any of our big cities, Camden,
you mean the Newark. Five most dangerous cities in the country?
Yes. You're probably in the world. Yes, I would probably say Beirut is probably, at least you know, that the only thing we're missing in Camden is IEDs.
I've deployed overseas a couple of times while I was in the Marines. And Mike was in the Army, and he's deployed overseas, too. And I can tell you, the saddest thing that I think I've ever seen in the United States is riding the PATCO through Camden and looking at shelled-out buildings. I'm trying to figure what war is being fought there.
Yeah. Well, it does really look like a war.
Oh, absolutely. It's the war on drugs. It's the war on freedom. It's the economic warfare. And
it's successful. We're winning, from what I hear. We're winning, according to the illustrious Governor Christie. We're winning.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say to that.
nothing.
Yes, he's really. This mic is.
Wait
right,
a minute.
Really nothing.
I am making my bones on a podcast, and I have absolutely no response to that.
But the bottom line is that there was absolutely no reason that Carol Baum had to die.
No,
she right. was murdered. Yeah, the blood of her death rests squarely on the hands of the state legislature and the local chief of police and police department. Period. End of story.
Yes. You know, yes. There on the state legislature. Thing. But for the past 100 years, right? I mean, this hasn't changed. No, let's just say since 1968. 60.
Yeah,
right?
At least 60 years.
Since 1968.
You know, there's one thing that came from the follow to that, you know, gave me a little bit of hope. And it was something Governor Christie did. And it was creating that panel to make suggestions, which, I mean, to be honest, we've seen it done before. But I was really hoping to see something come out of that. And we haven't seen it. Even get staffed yet.
Who is even on the panel?
Right.
They haven't appointed them.
Right.
And I'm wondering when they're going to appoint those
people. Well, they can't get the Newtown moms, and then there's moms against whatever they're against. They have to come down and busing, and there's transportation.
You know, if anyone from the Christie camp is listening, I really have some good ideas for people that you can put on that staff.
You just brought up good ideas, Christie camp.
You know,
it's an oxymoron. I'm more than
willing
another word
to make
Anthony
nominations.
Wouldn't know.
Well, Sandy, it's funny you said about 68, which is Burton v. Sills. And I was just saying to somebody earlier, you know, the state has updated your driver's license 3 times in the last 30 years.
Right.
And yet we use a firearms permitting system from 1968.
Yes, and it exactly can't survive right. my washer.
Right. I mean, really?
Yes, exactly. All right, we're coming back. That's a threat.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And we're back.
let's not forget Waldorf Chiropractic, Montville Executive Suites, and Philly Gun Training while we're at it. Also, thank you everyone that supported the popcorn sale at the range. $1,300 worth of popcorn was sold for the scouts, so thank you. Now, to show solidarity here, we have almost all the big hitters for the 2A. Actually, everybody's here. Mike Willett is still here on the end. We got rid of, what's his name,
John,
for a little while. And we have Rick.
He's out doing a financial planning mathematics.
Yes. We have Rick Friedman, the owner of RTSP in the house, who set up a nice simulator display, is doing a seminar, and is a platinum sponsor of today's event. Rick, say hello.
I'm going to say hello. Well, let me start out, Anthony, because I have a bone to pick.
Good.
For 4 years, and I haven't been on your program yet. So
You're not the only one.
You know, I just, listen, I'm happy to be here.
Rick, most people try to avoid this. consider it an honor.
That no, you know, you know what? Anthony and I, people don't realize we go way back. Anthony's actually pretty responsible for a lot of RTSP and its beginnings. So everything that's wrong with our range, it's Anthony's fault. No.
correct.
Myself and my partners, we actually, my partner Brad, we started with Anthony 5-6 years ago training and had talked about opening up a new facility in New Jersey, and he was a big proponent of ours in the beginning. So it was kind of a nice progression. It's good to see Anthony do so well with his business, and it's important for all of us to stick
likewise.
Together.
Yep. And, you know, I told Rick before, I said I've been plugging RTSP and various other ranges on the show for the past few weeks because I wanted everybody to know that we're being represented. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why we fail in this state is because everybody puts these freaking walls up amongst each other.
Exactly.
And that we're all in this together. I mean, I don't look at him as competition. He's another business. There's food stores on every corner. You know, you can go to Pathmark, ShopRite, or whatever. Everybody has their own market and their own niche, but I'm glad that you're here. You have a huge presence in the hallway with this simulator. Tell us about what's going on here, because you do this at the range. I don't offer this at my place.
We do. You know what? When they approached us, it was a no-brainer to get involved. I mean, you know, listen, New Jersey is our home. How much we love and hate certain aspects of it, we have to fight for our rights in New Jersey.
Right.
So when they approached us to be here, it was a no-brainer. And we're happy to be here. The digital simulator, it's fun. It's a training tool that we use at the range that people can come, whether you're
but
civilian.
But it ain't no video game. It's pretty intense. No, I'm watching it.
Yeah, as you know, it's got scenarios on there. For people that live in other states, it's got a lot of concealed carry scenarios, so they're actually more applicable outside of New Jersey. But again,
well, here,
it doesn't really help you in New Jersey.
It's a video game.
Is that Brad eating in front of the simulator right now?
Yeah, Brad's Brad leads up our training department,
but he's eating.
Eating is one of the
he excels in that.
Is
that part of the self-defense scenario?
Yes, but you know,
it
Mike,
is. 100%. Yeah.
You know, Mike, John reached out to Rick RTSP right away and said, "We need a sponsor. We're in. We have space. You want to come down and bring all your equipment? They brought a trailer down today. We're in. We need speakers. You're doing a thing on situational awareness today and something else. What's the other thing?
Yeah, we had Rick Nicoletti.
Okay.
Come in, our training director, and Aries is also here. She's one of our sales managers down at the range.
So
she's kind of joined in, but she's here on her own. But she does a lot for Second Amendment rights in New Jersey as a female and a pro Second Amendment person.
And Rick and I were just talking about how we support candidates and we do things for the cause in the state of New Jersey.
Right.
But a lot of times everybody looks at each other, they put the walls up and look at it like competition. But we all have a common enemy.
And you're fighting for your rights.
Correct.
You're all fighting together for your rights.
John, Mike lives in a free state, by the way. Tell him.
You do.
Oh, yeah. I live in free state. It's nice.
What when state I can do you live in?
I live in Idaho.
Idaho.
Where I can carry my handgun with me when I go hunting.
Yeah, we don't know what that's like.
I can carry it concealed without a permit because I'm hunting. And that's completely different. The people, when I tell people
you could do that here too, and you'd also be doing 5 to 7 in the state's penitentiary.
But Rick, tell me, you know, you've been in this game for a while and you like to shoot. Isn't it great the diversity of your clientele?
Yeah, I would say that over the last, I mean, even before we opened up, but over the last 4 years, 5 years after you opened up, after we opened up, the type of shooter and the people that are coming into our range is not what I expected. We're 30% women. We have a lot of minorities that come and
shoot. It's amazing, isn't that?
It's wonderful. And, you know, filling out all those little surveys that we get from the NRA, I think they're probably shocked as to who's coming and shooting at our range.
Correct.
And we've created a warm environment, just like you have down at your range in Woodland Park. we create a great environment for people to come out, feel comfortable, and enjoy the shooting aspect and learn. It's really a training facility more than a gun range.
And families and young kids.
100%, sure.
And you have a little cafe where people can sit down and relax while they're waiting.
Right.
And you also have a huge area. You have a shoot house and everything.
We do. We have a shoot house that uses UTM, or what people know as simmunition. So actual guns, but firing kind of small paintball.
But they hurt.
You don't want to get hit by this.
They sting a little bit.
They'll leave a well. Yeah, they'll leave a well.
They sting a lot. But you know what? Yeah. The whole thing, as you kind of note as well, it's a destination. It's a place for people to go and really enjoy themselves. This is not about shooting holes in paper. It's about an overall experience. And I think you bring it to the state of New Jersey. I think we bring it to the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And like you said, the most important thing, and the most important thing with this type of event, people have to get up, get out, and help. You got to stand up for your rights. Otherwise, it's just going to wither away.
I believe it absolutely does wither away.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest problems we have are not people who go to ranges like yours and Anthony's. It's the people who go to ranges where I tend to frequent, who he calls FUDs. You know, all the trap ranges, skeet ranges, Central Jersey. Most of the people who are there, I've polled just about everybody I met in the past 2 weeks, they don't even know that this event is going on down here.
Right, and that's sad.
Shame on them.
That's sad.
Yes.
And we've tried. We've been putting it out. It's been in the ANGRPC's newsletter, all of us. But again, who are the ranges here? Jen runs the bullet hole, young person. Rick runs RTSP, young person. You know, again.
You know, I'd be curious what you just stated and correlate that with how people vote or get off their rear ends to vote.
Right, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It probably goes hand in hand.
No, I'm sure.
Yes. Those are the people that need to stand up.
Yes.
We need the votes.
Right.
It's bottom line.
Right, and we've gotten, if you bring the subject up at all, you get a lot of pushback from some of these guys who are like, oh, you know, I really don't want to get politically involved in any of that.
You're better.
Yeah, exactly. Then you might as well just give me over that, give me that K80 you're shooting. So, because somebody's going to take it, and I might as well be able to use it.
We have about, a year and a half left under this administration.
Yeah,
Christie. And if you thought it was bad under Christie, you got another thing coming.
Yeah, and if we don't get this clown out of office right now, we've already wounded the beast who's going to be taking over the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, Sweeney's going to be.
We're done.
Christie just pardoned 3 more out-of-state people. Sweeney and Fullup are not going to do that.
And he shouldn't have had to pardon them, because it's under his stinking laws that these people got locked up in the first place on bogus charges.
Correct.
So what else are you doing? You're going to be at the next one we have next year. We're going to have it in North or Central New Jersey. So it's RTSP. What's your website, Rick?
It's RTSPonline.com.
Thank you for coming on, brother.
I appreciate it, Anthony. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get out.
Are you still fighting crime the old-fashioned way? Now cut crime in half the time with a fast, easy money-saving solution. Introducing the Shitbaggerator, this year's all-new crime deterrence marvel from the makers of Gun for Hire Radio. The Shitbaggerator's compact design makes it quicker and easier to use than jail cells, parole boards, lethal injections, or those costly, outdated electric chairs. Just park your Shitbaggerator in the town square, open the lid, and drop the shitbag in. It's that simple. There's no wrong way to use it. Back and forth, side to side, round and round, shit bags go in and come out as a mound. Super sharp stainless steel blades that never need sharpening do all the work. Slice shit bags so thin they only have one side. Built strong to last, they slice through even the toughest shit bags. Murderers, rapists, child molesters, no problem. Just set it to high, and the Shitbaggerator's powerful patented motor will handle them 3 at a time. No muss, no fuss, no bogging down. Just pop the top, drop them in, and watch as the powerful counter-rotating blades pull any size shitbag through at 2 feet per second. Amazing! Cleanup is a breeze. Just rinse with a fire hose or run it through the car wash. There's even a pulse setting for serial offenders. Save up the worst and delight the crowds on the 4th of July. Who needs fireworks when you've got the Shitbaggerator? And it's portable, so you can take it anywhere. But wait, there's more. For a limited time, we'll send you 4 additional sets of special stainless steel blades that never need sharpening. So now you can chop, slice, dice, and cube. the ship baggerator, and four specialty blades, all for the same low, low price. Unbelievable. So don't wait. Call and get yours today.
The ship baggerator is available only at Gun for Hire Radio. Operators are standing by.
And don't forget, Evan Knappen will be at Woodland Park Range October 16th for his gun law seminar. He's here today.
Knappen.
Dan Schmutter's here today. Scott Bach is here today. Everyone who's been arrested wrongfully in the state of New Jersey is here today. Gun ranges across the state, ammo manufacturers, they're all here today. And sitting next to me is the lovely Jen Circa Pantano from the Bullet Hole. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ant.
And Mike is still on the show. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Nice. Ba-da-dum-bum. So I grabbed Rick, and now I grabbed Jen, because here's three gun ranges within a 30-mile radius of each other, and we all got up 5 o'clock this morning or the night before to come down here 2.5 hours from our place to partake in this conference because it's something we feel that strongly about. Am I right, Jen?
Very much so. And anybody who has anything to do with the gun industry should have been here.
Now, Jen, you're not only a mom, you're a wife, and you're a small business owner. You run the Bullet Hole and the Bullet Hole Annex, correct?
Correct.
And you're an NRA instructor?
I am, yes.
What else can you do? Damn.
I can teach. I'm a certified teacher in the state of New Jersey. I am now a cheerleading mom because she decided she wanted to do cheerleading.
How cool is that?
So my life is just stopped.
Just
I
fun.
Love it.
How's your husband?
He's great.
Anthony's her husband.
Yes, he is busy.
Let's just say he's a federal officer, but we won't say where he is.
So it tells me a lot about your feelings with the Second Amendment in the state of New Jersey, because you came down here, you set up a booth, you're giving out all kinds of freebies and discounts, and you're talking to everybody that walks by. And again, like for you and I, and even Rick, this is not our demographic. We're 2.5 hours away from our customer base. But again, you feel that sense of unity. I mean,
right.
I could go back into 1992 and 1993. Jen is a lot younger than me, but
A lot.
I've gone down to Trenton and Washington D.C. with her dad in bus rides to fight for the Second Amendment rights in the state of New Jersey and the country. So that's how deep it goes. The Bullet Hole's what, 35 years now?
35 years, yes.
Only 35-year anniversary, Mike. How's that?
Wow.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Now, has your daughter been shooting?
Yes, she has. She loves her archery, too, because the Annex deals with archery.
Yes.
So the girl I have working there is an archery instructor, and she has been teaching her how to shoot her arrows and bows, and she loves it. If you go to our Facebook page on the Annex, you'll see her. She's on the homepage there.
How old is she now?
Five.
Third generation.
Yes.
God bless.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah, well, it actually almost would have been fourth generation because Grandma used to hang out in the store all the time.
Right, true. Yeah.
She's
right?
There a lot more now.
Yeah.
She is.
Well, now,
because
I'm sorry,
I'm
talking about great grandma used to be at the range, remember?
Yeah, I miss my grandma.
Yeah, her grandmother. I remember when I used to go to range. She was a pisser. She'd just tell you, no muffler there.
Oh, no. No, we lost her a few years ago. She died at 92.
You walk in the range, she'd be like, "How you doing, Anthony? You're getting fat."
Yes, no filter.
Thanks, Grandma. Have a nice day. I got to go. I'm going to go have a salad, you know?
Yeah. My dedication to the state of New Jersey and gun rights is important. And you know that because I don't live in New Jersey. I live in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But I still have my heart and soul in New Jersey and with the gun rights of New Jersey.
Mike, when we had the rally down in Trenton where your brother and I spoke, the Bullet Hole sponsored a bus. Jen was the bus team leader leaving from across the street from her range in her store and went down. And it was a beautiful day that day, remember?
Oh, yeah. Kind of like
sunny.
Now. Sideways rain,
yeah,
5 degrees outside.
Frozen feet and toes. Mm.
Yeah, but we did it.
Yes.
And then you did the second bus trip as well.
Yes.
And you offered to pay for buses.
I did, yeah.
And she did.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we roll.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
Outstanding.
That's part of the community. And that's what we're trying to get everybody who participates in the Second Amendment sports in New Jersey to understand.
Here's the problem. People like Jen, myself, John, Rick, Jen's dad, 10% of us do the heavy lifting for the 90% of the complainers that aren't here today.
Yep, yep. What's and they'll sit and bitch and moan, but they will not stand up. They won't vote. They won't. They won't come out. They certainly wouldn't come out in sideways rain. But we did have 5,000 people there in Trenton that day.
What's your excuse to not be here today on a rainy, crappy Sunday?
Right.
We're down here. Hundreds of
Saturday,
us are down here.
You're ahead of
Saturday.
Yourself.
This is a way to meet. I mean, there's Dan Smutter. There's Scott Bach. There's John Willett. There's Evan Knappen. There's Aisley Reynolds. There's Tony Simon.
The same people.
There's Stefan Jersey. There's Keith Pantaleon. There's Shanine Allen.
Right.
What else do you want to know?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, seriously, the bullet hole booth is over there. There's the RTSP booth. There's Red Dot Firearms. There's Bob's Guns and Bob from Vineland. He's down here. Bob Vineland. I mean, they're all here.
You're doing a live show. We're doing a live show with you.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Why aren't you here?
So we're going to do this again next year in central or northern New Jersey. We want 3,000 people to show up because unity and activism is key. Jen could have been home doing other things today. She's like me. She works 7 days a week. She's got a daughter she's got to take care of. Mike, you flew in from where?
I flew in from Idaho.
Mike came in from Idaho.
Are your arms tired?
Yeah. Wow. You have to understand, Anthony thinks everything west of Pennsylvania doesn't even exist. So,
that's great.
I actually had to fly out of Washington State. So,
Oh we my feel
God, really? You had to fly all the way to Washington State and fly back?
No, I had to drive to Spokane, Washington and
to fly,
from there.
Here. Very good. Wow, that's pretty cool. So you are in God's country.
Yes.
Yes. We have a lot of listeners in Idaho.
That's great.
Yeah. We do.
It's great. Yeah. We love our...
Do you know them?
I probably do.
You probably do. You probably run into them, you know, at the Walmart or some damn thing, right?
Yes.
Can we plug the dinner a bit?
Yeah. Don't forget Evan Knappen questions. Email talkback@gunforhireradio.com. Jennifer is hosting, what, third or fourth year now?
I think it's the fourth or fifth.
Fourth year. The state NRA dinner. So, Jen, please plug the dinner. This is for the state association, ANJRPC. Go ahead, Jen.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
This dinner's on October 17th at the Imperia on Easton in Somerset. If you are a gun person, you need to be here because there's way more than just guns there. There is going to be hockey tickets because we have a very nice person who is giving us 2 tickets to the Devils game. So if you like to play hockey or you like to see hockey, that's something to look at. There are products from Ruger that are going to be there, backpacks and good swag, things like that. So if you have nothing to do or if you have a lot of stuff to do on October 17th, that is the place to be.
All right, Jen, say what's not going to be there for the listeners who are all over the country and not in New Jersey and don't understand that a Friends of the NRA dinner normally has something there that cannot be represented here in New Jersey. What would that be? Guns.
Yes.
We can only have pictures of guns in New Jersey.
That's how sad it is. No, seriously, we have to take pictures of the guns that are going to be there, and we post them on giant blow-up doll-size posters, and everybody bids on pictures.
Yes, we give away pictures that night.
And then they have to come to an FFL like yourself, and they have to pick up the firearm because they can't leave. You just can't do a...
You can't do any transactions of firearms at that dinner because
you hear that,
it's
Mike?
The state of New Jersey.
Yes.
You
hear
I was at a Friends of the NRA dinner earlier this year, and there was plenty of firearms there.
Yeah, that's why your dinners make $50,000, and Jen has to bust her hump to make $25,000.
Right.
So, Jen, I won't be here. I'll be in China. I can't attend. I bought an ad. So it's October 17th at the Imperia in Easton. And how do people find out about this, Jen? Tell us where to go to get the info for the dinner. They should support the state dinner.
Yes, you can go to the ANJRPC website, the bullethole.nj.com website, the friendsofthenra.org website, or you can give me a call at 201-268-2618.
I mean, really, this is important. I used to be involved in the dinners. Jen and I were co-chairs in a couple of dinners, three dinners, right? We had three, the largest dinners in the state of New Jersey ever. We kicked ass, and personal things changed for me, and I don't have the time to do them anymore, but she She took over, man, and she's been kicking ass. So if anybody is interested,
I think that's one of the best. It's the best attended dinner, I think, in the state.
Yeah.
Great events. Yeah. Always a great event.
And it really, really is good. I think it's the nicest. I've been to so many of them, and most of them are sleepers. Well, you know.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, this will be an exciting dinner. I mean, it's also the association's annual meeting beforehand, which you can attend whether you're a member or not. And then you'll have Scott Bach there, and there's going to be some good speakers. And Jen doesn't do anything half-assed. I mean, how much are the 50-50s usually?
Usually between $700 and $800 per side. So
per side.
Almost $2,000. Plus, a lot of people don't know that this money comes right back to the state of New Jersey. It doesn't go to the NRA.
Good point.
Half of it comes back to our state to help support shooting programs, Boy Scout, Girl Scout organizations, so that we have a future of the Second Amendment in the state of New Jersey.
The other half of the money goes to the National Friends of the NRA, which is redistributed like for Eddie Eagle programs, Boy Scout programs, Girl Scout programs, et cetera, et cetera. So Jen is right. It's not the NRA. It's the NRA Foundation. And that's where all that money goes, and that's where all that money stays. So you really support it. Listen, the food is great at this place. The atmosphere is great. I can only imagine what other prizes she's going to have with the raffles and the bucket tickets and everything, because she's very good at shaking people down for donations.
Yes, are three letters that everyone should think about when they're considering coming to this dinner, and that is KSG.
KSG. Hard to get some KSGs right now. Also, there's going to be a Ted Nugent autographed guitar. There's going to be a Kimber Pro Carry 2 1911 and a bunch of other pictures of guns that you can bid on. But then you'll be able to pick up the gun. Who's the FFL for the dinner?
The bullet hole.
Oh, the bullet hole. That's how convenient that is.
So much
that
so.
That works out really well. And you have a great time at the dinner. It'll be a couple of hundred people, all Second Amendment advocates. So, Mike, how many people at the dinners you usually attend in Idaho?
We had a big Quonset hut that was full of tables.
A Quonset hut?
Yeah, it was. I think it was $500 for the first table to go eat is what we bid.
Really?
Yeah.
They were doing something with that with the dinner bell last year, I think.
That's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, we had
which table gets
salt
up to
pepper
eat shakers.
That's pretty cool.
Like bullets.
Bastards would be all over that, man. Holy shit, could you imagine the ego bidding that would go on?
Oh my God,
unbelievable. That is great. Jen, I can't thank you enough for you and your sister-in-law coming down, setting up, being a part of this, breaking your hump to sponsor this dinner like you do every year. I know what a great person you are, and tell people how they can contact you and your dad's business and your mom and everybody. Let us all know, please.
You can give us a call on the phone, 973-759-3968. Go to the website, bulletholenj.com. There's a Facebook page for each business set up, and our email address, bulletholeinc@verizon.net.
Nice. So, Mike, what do you think about, like, what Jen is just saying, that we can't have real guns? Do you see how sissified we are in the state of New Jersey?
Sad.
That's a shame.
It's sad.
It's one little piece at a time. I was just talking to an attorney who said that they have prosecutors now where the judge, there's the restraining order in a domestic is dropped, and the judge gives an order to give the guy his guns back, and the prosecutor says, I'm not sure. I'm going to hold them another 6 months, a cooling off period before I give you your guns back. And the person is like, but the judge ordered. No. And then they have to hire like Knappen's firm or Schmutter's
firm. You have to hire a lawyer to get done what the judge was told to be done.
Right. Correct. Because the prosecutors.
To enforce the law.
The prosecutors implementing
because
their own
doesn't
cooling
feel like
down
doing
law.
It.
Exactly. Jen, you kick butt. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer. I got a lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Arm yourself with information to protect your rights. www.beararmsshow.com.
All right, and we are back with the next segment. This is John, by the way. I stepped away for a little bit, but I'm back to join you again. And coming in with me is Aries Daniela. If you've listened, please. If you've listened to Bear Arms Show before, you remember Aries, a fellow Marine and all around.
And a whole lot better looking than the brothers. I just got to say, and she's sitting here next to me. Thank you very much.
So, come on, Sandy. You know you want me to sit next to you.
Concentrate on the book. Well, we were before. We did. You know, they had to separate us. It is what happened.
Sandy got a little handsy.
I did. Yes. It's been a while.
So Aries is joining us today at the event. One, she's going to be talking about building the Second Amendment community because she's been doing a lot of work. Trying to get more women into the community. And she's also going to be talking about women and guns specifically. So I don't know if you want to give us a preview of what you're talking about, or maybe you want to tease it for when the video eventually gets released. You take some time and tell us.
Well, I'll be doing the women in firearms section here in a bit. And pretty much it's just kind of proving to everybody and showing everybody that, you know, we're here and we're ready to shoot and we're ready to participate in the sport, and that we need more people to join us, you know, female or male supporters. We just need more people out there shooting.
So you're pretty active and you get around to a lot of different events and things, and I'm just curious, how do you think is the best way for people to get involved? Is it to go to the local range or to go to a specific kind of event that they can get to? Or how do you think that introduction process should go?
Well, I had a gentleman actually approach me a couple of minutes ago, and he actually asked me the same question. You know, he's trying to figure out how to get out there and how to get more people involved. And I told him it just kind of starts off with one person. You approach one person and you ask them, hey, you know, would you like to come to the range with me? And then you take them to the range, and then that person gets into it, and it's just kind of like a little chain of events. So it's not that hard. It's pretty simple. Just ask one person, and then one person is all it takes.
So it sounds to me like you're building like a mentorship kind of relationship when you're doing this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I have to say that it's nice to see so many women getting involved in shooting. And when I'm at Anthony's range or if I visit other ranges, what's amazing is it's not just New Jersey. There are probably the majority of the people standing in line waiting to shoot anywhere are women, and many of them young single women. Do you see that happening?
I definitely see that happening. I also see a lot of mothers coming to the range, and it makes sense. You know, you want to protect your children as best as you can, and sometimes you need a leg up, and if a firearm is going to help you do that and help you protect yourself and your kids, then that's why I see more women and more females who have children come into the range.
It's an interesting thing. You know, we talk about this a lot of times. There's a mental shift that happens, I think, once you have kids. And all of a sudden you get that whole protector instinct in you and you start to look at life differently because you know you're now responsible for another life. And I think a lot of people who just really didn't give it a second thought prior to that are all of a sudden very concerned about safety, about security, and about protecting their kids. And women are natural protectors. I wouldn't want to screw with a mama bear.
No.
You know.
No.
I definitely agree. I mean, before I'm a mother, and before I had my child, I probably wouldn't be as adamant about teaching others mm-hmm. and helping other women get into the shooting sports. And ever since I had my son, you know, from there it kind of just took off, and I'm like, everybody must learn to defend themselves. Everybody right. must learn to defend their children. And it is that mama bear instinct. So,
did you do a whole alarm thing to like where, you know, I have one of my video producers is he's on his second child now. He's got two kids under three, and all of a sudden I watched an amazing change in him where right away he's calling me up. You know what, an alarm company? I can get an alarm company. I said, you get an alarm company? You leave your doors open so the UPS man can bring your stuff in. He's like, no, well, not anymore. You know, I have kids. Did you see that happening in your own life?
Definitely. I mean, before it was kind of like I just took care of myself and, you know, didn't have to think about anybody right. else. And then I have this, you know, young child come into my life, and now everything completely changes. I have to protect him. I have to make sure, you know, I get childproof locks for everything, the cabinets, cover everything around, and then from right. there it just kind of expands.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of curious, being someone who's been working so long, getting people into the community this way, and, you know, we've talked before about, you know, how women get involved in anything. Is there anything that men can do to help spread the message that you're trying to send?
The first thing, if you have wives, girlfriends, daughters, is reach out to them. If you haven't already taken them to the range, what are you waiting for? You know, bring them on out to the range, have them shoot. If they're not comfortable with you teaching them, find an instructor that can teach them. If they're not comfortable with being in the range and the loud sounds, I mean, RTSP has the digital simulator. You can bring them in there, get them started teaching the basics, and from there, whenever they're comfortable, progress on out. So
I know guys who have wives maybe who are uncomfortable around firearms, and I was just curious about a strategy that I might have heard of someone employing about leaving firearms around the house, maybe, you know, unloaded without a bolt, but, you know, just kind of visible, you know, in different places, and, you know, maybe they get yelled at first, but, you know, not later on. Like, does it seem like a good acclimation strategy?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think I think if I was scared and I just kind of walked in and there's a random gun on the bed and be like, what?
Well, there's a progression. Maybe it's cased at first and then it's not, you know.
No, definitely not.
A little salami tactic. Yeah, a little slice at a time. Yeah, my wife would be, your crap's all over the bed. What are you? How come this stuff smells?
I'm not going to name any names, but he's a good friend of mine.
No, I got my wife more involved by bringing her to the range with the kids. Yeah. I'd bring her and the kids, and she would play with the kids if they didn't want to participate. And I asked her one day, I'm like, do you want to shoot my handgun? And she said, yeah, I'll try your handgun. And she loves it. She shoots it every time we go out now. And I bring my handgun
with
me.
It's funny, too, because I tried to get my wife into it. Now, she's a hell of a shot. But she just take it or leave it. I'm like, you want to go out to the range? No, not really.
Right.
Yeah, not really. I don't know what to do.
I'll stick by the notion that women are naturally better shooters than men.
Oh, yeah,
not
absolutely.
Because I'm a female,
no,
but because
no, you're
I've
absolutely
seen
right. It. Yes, yes, you see it. Anybody who's an instructor, and we all
patient,
have seen it.
I think. Yeah. I think they're more patient.
They're more patient. They listen. They don't have this Rambo thing going on, like that we're men, we're supposed to be born with shooting guns. What are you serious?
Oh.
Yeah, you have to unlearn them before you can relearn them. Mm-hmm. Where women just sit back and they take note. They're not afraid to ask for help, and they tend not to be, I don't know, what, show-offy, or what would you say?
That's a good word. I mean, a lot of people come to the range, and it's their first time. Men especially, they'll come to the counter, and they'll say, oh, look, there's a Desert Eagle. I want to shoot that. Because they see it in the movies, they see it in the video games. Yeah. Then they get out there, they come back after one round, and they're like, oh, I don't want to shoot that ever again. They have like a huge mark on their forehead.
Because they're idiots, yeah.
I thought right. you could handle it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I want to go shoot a handgun, you need a wheelbarrow to take out to the range, right. That's perfect. And it's got to be gold, too, you know, because it's got to be a gold designated.
Well, I mean right. plated, not solid gold. That's not a little expensive. Gold,
yeah. With the tiger stripes on it.
The tiger stripe is the best camo. Yeah. I'm going to stand by that statement.
Gold tiger stripe. That's interesting.
I think my living room needs to be redone now, actually.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Into tiger stripes?
Yeah, definitely.
The gold and silver tiger stripe?
Yeah, do they do finish for ARs in that gold color?
They do. They'll do anything. That guy that Anthony sent stuff to, what's his name up there? It's Liquid Fluid Graphic?
Yeah.
Fluid Graphics, right? They're up in somewhere in New England. And he does virtually anything you want. You could take a photograph and put it onto it, which is cool. Yeah. And it is long-lasting. I know they did a gun for Cheyenne Roberts.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was really pretty. I think she wanted pink or pink stripes or pink tiger stripes, probably.
Pink and purple or
pink and purple, something like that, yeah.
You know, one thing I was actually kind of interested in asking Aries is, you know, for someone who's trying to build, you know, more of a movement around firearms and that type of thing, and you've had some success on social media, I was curious if maybe you had any tips or tricks for people, you know, maybe trying to get started with the social media and trying to get their messages out to people.
You have to have a strong message, first of all. Have a strong message, stick to the message, and kind of just be very friendly with everybody. I know there's a lot of people out there that people will go on their social media and they'll comment, and then, you know, people won't comment back and won't say anything back, and, you know, you kind of just close yourself off. So definitely be friendly, do a lot of interaction, regular posts every day on everything that you're on. And giveaways are always fun. Everybody loves free stuff. So, you know, you put some giveaways on there and people will come. So
when you say you have to have a strong message, you're saying that you have to plan what your message is going to be and maybe have some notes before you start talking, right?
Definitely. I mean,
that'd be helpful.
I carry my little notebook around and I just kind of like write ideas like, oh, this is what I'm going to post next, or this is what I'll write about next. So as the ideas come to you, kind of just jot them down and you'll have a lot to put on there.
And so you've got to be passionate, too. I mean, I've seen a lot of your videos, and there's a tremendous amount of passion there. You really care about what you're doing, and you care about the people who are watching the videos, too. It's that when you're engaging with an audience, you really have to, you can't fake this crap, because you really have to care. You have to care about who's on the other end, in this case, on the other end of the microphone or the other end of the camera. If you don't, you can't feign concern. It will easily be detected. You know, the audience always has a BS detector that will stand out instantly. And you can't always be pitching stuff at them, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you really have to develop a relationship. True? I mean, I can sense you have a very deep relationship engagement with your, you know, with your audience.
You know, I think it's interesting that you, and I think it's great, that you went straight to talking about the message instead of talking about the latest tool or system or network or, you know, I just think you hit the nail on the head right there.
Well, I think that's one of the things that everybody's hungering for. Things that we forget that have been around here for a while, and this happens really in any business or any expert, always forgets what it's like to be new at all this. There are people out here listening to this show. I mean, we've got a million and a half million, you know, or better listeners. I guarantee you there's a bunch of people out there who don't even, they're like, well, how do we clean a gun? And we're trying to figure, what was that, a truck that just went through here?
I have no idea. It sounded like an F-16.
It was pretty good. I was wondering. I was waiting for the bombs to explode. But
you mentioned being new, and I know we've talked to Aries before on the Bear Arms show, and she's specialized in new shooters, you know, so I think you're a great person to tell us, you know, and remind us maybe of what that experience is like for people coming through. But you're going to be able to tell it to us in a language that, you know, as experienced people, we're going to be able to understand.
At first, it's a little difficult trying to get the new shooters to come in, but, you know, you kind of just have to be open and friendly and say, hey, you know, just try it once, just try one round, just go out there. If you don't like it, that's fine. You know, I did the same thing for my brother over here, and I did the same thing for my sister. They were both kind of, you know, never been exposed to guns before I came in. and I took them, and now my brother loves it. You know, he knows how to clean, he knows how to take apart, he knows how to shoot, and there it goes.
Yeah, I think we've identified the source of that.
There goes the semi.
And it's going to be good. Shortly out of distance.
That's good. That's, hopefully it keeps up.
And, yeah.
And then with my son, I mean, he's only four, but, you know, I've taken him out to the range. I've taken him out to the digital simulator just to kind of acclimate him a little bit, you know, kind of show him the basics, how to hold it, how to aim. And then once he shows me that he's good at doing that, you know, in a controlled environment in the digital simulator, then afterwards, you know, we'll shift him on over to the range. But we'll
where
definitely
you feel
start
more comfortable than taking him so
exactly
into a live fire situation. Yeah.
And you get that demystification in early. I think that's outstanding.
And then, you know, we'll be at home and, you know, I'll be cleaning guns or something, and he'll look and he knows, you know, he's not. You also have to make sure that your child is ready. If you are teaching them, you have to make sure that it's not a child that's going to, you know, going to run around everywhere and touch everything, and that it's that the person is ready. Until the child is ready, then that should be when you should expose them.
They don't. They probably don't have show and tell anymore, do they? Which is probably a good thing. You know, we used to bring stuff in for show and tell. I don't think they do that anymore. That would
my
be
son's school does.
Do they really? Yeah. See, because you live in the free country.
Right.
And they don't have that on the East Coast. It's probably some sort of a law.
What was show and tell
that
last week? Like a Mossberg or something?
you brought my Mosin-Nagant too.
Yeah.
Well, Nappin said that was a big thing when he transitioned from New Jersey and he moved to New Hampshire. He said, my kids were coming home with hunting knives, bringing hunting knives in for kind of like show to show everybody. And the teacher would be like, that's really pretty cool. You know, you're Evan Knappen's son or Evan Knappen's daughter. He said it's just very natural and normal, which it really should be, because it used to be like that on the East Coast until 1968 when, you know, those laws, those gun laws were enacted really to keep those people, I'm using air quotes, from getting their hands on guns. It was the, you know, the Democrat Party in New Jersey, and there was a, with all the cities on fire and all the riots happening, there was this phenomenon that they called white flight. And everybody moved out to the suburbs, and the Democrats came down heavy on gun control at that point. And we're suffering underneath that right now.
You know,
it's always been about that, right?
Right. And you know, it brings up another point about culture. And that's where all this stems from, is from whatever the culture is in the state.
Yes.
That's the leading indicator. And that's why I think it's so fantastic that we have such, and I'm going to be honest, such a diverse group of people coming down here and speaking and attending and exhibiting here at the conference. And, you know,
shooters are a diverse group.
Exactly.
We are probably the most cohesive yet diverse group I've ever been part of.
Right. There's actually a young woman here who's working the event for the event center, who apparently now is interested in shooting. I'm just going to end it with that.
I was telling a couple of my coworkers, you know, there's so many of us, there's like 50 of us, and I was like, if it wasn't for the shooting sports and if it wasn't for our love of firearms, I probably would never have talked to you. Like, if we just met somewhere random, I probably never would have talked to them. But the firearms are what, you know, bring us together, and it's what we can talk about. So.
It ends up being a show and tell when you go to the range.
Yes exactly.
You ever shoot one of these?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Well, go right ahead.
Go right ahead, and you hand over, you know, a $10,000 firearm to somebody to shoot who you've never met before, and you know that they're just going to respect it the way it is.
One of my favorite things is to watch people shoot my 35 Welland, because it's a little bit of a beast that I don't think a lot of people out here on the East are familiar with.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in New Jersey. You sure that's not outlawed? It's like one of the lists. We better not speak too loudly, because they'll come down on top of that.
Secrets.
All right, we're coming back. And again, that's a threat.
For many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And we're back. Shanine Allen has joined us. Hey, Shanine.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, we're doing good. So, John.
We also have Tony Simon with us.
Yeah, we do have Tony.
We got two guests this segment.
That's how
we
do.
That's how crazy this show is.
But here's the thing. Shanine is so much prettier than Tony, even though I love Tony so much. So what we did was focus our male hormones all on Shanine at the other end of the table.
No, my.
Thank you.
Settle down over there, Sandy.
Yes, we're fine. We're good. Everything's good. All right. Tony, welcome.
Hey, I'm glad to be back.
Simon says train.
Simon says train. The second is for everyone.
Absolutely.
Second is for everyone. You know, I found out that Shanine is actually starting a website now, too, and get involved in some activities that are going on in Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Yes, I am. I'm having a turkey, beef, and beer Second Amendment event.
Cool.
Tomorrow, actually, at the King of Prussia Volunteer Company on Allendale Road. It's from 2 to 6. I have tickets. Tickets are $25 for anyone that want to come. All the beer you can drink and all the food while it lasts is going to be great.
Nice.
As well, I have a new website up. It's ShanineAllen.org and Shanine2A.com. I'm trying to, you know, get things started with getting more women involved in the Second Amendment.
And to understand how not to become a victim like you did.
Yes, I just want to get
How does
there.
It feel to be back in South Jersey again? It's got to be a little freaky, doesn't it?
I am very much scared.
Can you tell us firsthand how this all took place? Do you mind doing that?
Oh, no, I don't. My story.
Yes.
When I came to Jersey, actually yesterday made 2 years, marked the date that I was arrested in Jersey. I was coming down from Philadelphia to Atlantic City. I got a room for my son. I was throwing him a birthday party. And on my way there, I had got pulled over by state troopers in New Jersey. And he came over to me and asked me what was I doing in Atlantic County. And I told him, this is Atlantic City.
He said that? What are you doing in Atlantic County?
He said, what are you doing here in Atlantic County? I said, this is Atlantic City. You know, so he said, well, license, registration, proof of insurance. At that time, I just went in the back seat, got my purse, let him know that I'm licensed to carry, and I got my firearm on me, and just wanted to let him know. I didn't want to be a threat. So then he asked me, what? You have what? So wow. I repeated myself, and he said, where is it? I said, it's right here in my purse. I wanted to give it to him, and he snatched it out of my lap, snatched it out of the car, and asked me to step out the car.
And he knew you were a CCW holder,
yes.
And he reacted that way,
like, yeah.
which is kind of cool because, not cool, because here in New Jersey, a state trooper is not used to saying, hearing those words, officer, I have a concealed carry permit, and I'm carrying. They freak out.
Yeah.
Which is,
you know, we keep saying a concealed carry permit holder, and we can also translate into that into someone who did everything that they're supposed to do.
Correct.
To be able to carry a firearm legally.
A certified good gal who has been fingerprinted, background checked, proven to be above character of the average person walking by, who has been given license by the state of Pennsylvania to carry a concealed firearm, trusted by everyone around her, and yet we react that way.
Yes.
That's a bit bizarre.
Yeah, I was confused.
So what happened from that point forward?
From that point forward, I was very confused. By everything you just said, I passed everything, and for him to treat me like I was a criminal, they arrested me and left my dog and my cake and everything in the car on the
side
of the road.
Are you serious? The poor dog had to stay in the car?
6 hours.
That's going to freak me out. No, now I'm really pissed.
Yeah, I just adopted her for my son. I was going to take everything to the room and decorate it and then bring them back to Jersey the next day, which I did anyway.
Were you able to make a phone call or anything like that from that point?
Not until they let me go.
So no one knew where you even were?
My kids.
Oh, my God.
My kids, we had to stay at the daycare school. My son, good thing he had a key. He came in the house. He was just home by himself.
Oh, my God.
Me and his dad would have been there by the time he came off of school.
Wow.
But.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was very
scary. And then what was it like? I can't even imagine what it was like. From that point.
It was disgusting being in jail and just being treated like a prisoner. The part that got me the most was that they had to shackle my feet and
seriously?
My hands.
No, why?
Yeah, they shackled my feet to the bench. And then when I got transported, I was shackled with other females. And because I had to be brought from two different prisons, I was brought from Montgomery County, and then Atlantic County came to pick me up and took me to Atlantic County. So I had to be processed all over again twice. I had to be put into the hole by myself and then get to population because it was overcrowded. So it was very bad.
God.
It was very, very bad.
So you go from 5 minutes prior to this, a healthcare professional who's on her way just to a normal birthday party for a great event for a birthday to being a criminal instantaneously. That's New Jersey law. That's what we're fighting so hard to try to change.
Yes. Well, I just hope that it gets to the right people. And a lot of people out here think that it don't apply to them because it hasn't happened to them. I mean, when do you really know if something's going to happen to you or your family member? It applies to all of us because we all are human.
You're a law-abiding citizen. You don't think that you're breaking the law.
Right.
And yet all of a sudden, just because you have a possession of a firearm, a legal possession of a legal firearm, all of a sudden you're a criminal. And you're treated like a criminal and you're booked. And if it was not for a governor's pardon, you would still be in Gen Pop.
Yes. I would have went through trial.
Oh my God!
Probably would have lost and been in jail.
Oh yeah, absolutely would have lost. Yeah, because in New Jersey there's no bargaining chip, which we know, because of the Graves Act. Again, one of the things that we were talking about off air too, right, is the fact that New Jersey laws, gun control laws, aren't gun control laws. They're not about controlling guns. They're about controlling people.
Yes.
And they're probably the worst offender. They're probably the best example of Jim Crow laws, because that's where the gun control laws came from. And they came from when slaves were freed. All of a sudden now, the KKK which was basically the enforcement leg of the Democrat Party, needed a way to keep guns out of the hands of, quote, and I'm using air quotes again, those people. And this is what it's been about. And what's amazing me, Tony and I have talked about this a number of times, why it's so hard to get people of color to understand this and to, because in certain worlds, Mom and them are always saying, like, the only two people who have guns are the cops and criminals. And you're not a thug. You don't come in my house with a gun. Look, I get it, but...
You know what I'm excited about, though, is the fact that people are being inspired to change things. And, in fact, just the other week on Facebook, I saw from one of Tony's diversity shoots that Shanine Allen was joining them. You know, and they're combining forces to work to get that message out there with the events that Tony's doing. And I think, you know, it's a great example of how together we're going to be able to accomplish more than we can individually.
We have to be together for this to work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're too small of a community to be separated. As long as all of us are together, we'll be able to make this work.
Yes.
Well, the big problem is trying to keep us all together, and the fact that, you know, this is a diverse group. We are probably one of the most diverse, cohesive groups that exist, because it's always just about brothers and sisters together, and we have that common interest and the common belief that, no, you're not going to tell me that I have to be a victim and I have to wait for you, policeman, to come and do what? Draw the chalk outline around my body, write the report, put up a crime scene, you know, send the crime scene photos? We talked about this with Aries too. Why did you get a firearm? What was your whole motivation to get a firearm?
The motivation that made me get a firearm, I had a friend, he was about 60 years old, and he told me, he's like, Shanine, you need to go and get your firearm. I had got robbed twice in the same month, in 2013.
Do you right do before. Home care?
I was doing home care, okay. I was doing medical assistant, and I'm a phlebotomist.
Okay.
And also I was bartending on the side here and there. So I had three jobs.
And one of the biggest problems I find that, now my wife has been in home care for a lot of years, and she has, and unfortunately in New Jersey, and she has had a number of home care nurses attacked, stabbed, because you're going into an unknown all the time. And you go 24 hours a day. You're there aiding, you know, people. And then especially if you're in uniform, you know, there's a junkie out there thinking you're carrying something. And unfortunately, it's that kind of a world that we live in. Now, when you had your first child... did something change also that all of a sudden now you're responsible for the life of another person, and before that's like it's freewheeling up until then, whoop, boom, and then you decide at that point to be more concerned about security and safety for...
When I had my child.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It's interesting.
That motherly instinct, like, I got to protect this one.
Right.
And now I have to do that for both of my kids. I always thought about it even before I got... robbed, because I got abused before by a man, so I know how that feels to want to protect your child.
Right.
So I always had that instinct. I just didn't get the chance to get it done. But once I figured out how, and I think that's what the problem is in my community. A lot of them don't know where to go, or how easy it is to get your license carry, even in my state.
Well, what's kind of interesting too, we've got one of the guys who's been with us ever, forever, since day one with our show. He's been a technical advisor for a long time. Jose Morales, who runs Philly Firearms Academy right in Spring Garden, right on 935 Spring Garden, right across the way from the Firearms Permit Division.
Right.
And Jose's probably one of the best instructors I've seen. Very compassionate, very, very thorough. And he's having a problem also with the firearms unit for Philadelphia, because right away they're kind of judge and jury. If somebody goes in there and presents, and especially if it's a person of color, and they present, you know, an application for firearms, they're like, well, why do you need a gun?
Yeah, I have a couple friends that I've acquired, and they've told me that they're fighting the battle in Pennsylvania right now where they're trying to be able to sell firearms and ammunition to people, and they can't. They want to stop it.
It's kind of interesting, isn't
it's
it?
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's really kind of funny, too, because Jose is not making any friends over the firearms unit because he's taking people in and he's showing them, no, they can't do this to you.
You know, I'm actually kind of curious if Tony's been getting any responses when he's having people come in for the diversity shoots with their application processes.
Yeah,
have you gotten anything like that? Or?
Well, some of the guys, they've had their pistol permit purchase paperwork. Wow, say that three times.
Oh, wow,
first.
Yeah.
have it out there for 6-9 months, still
are
waiting
you serious?
For a response.
And that's all Jersey, or is that PA
that's,
too?
That's New Jersey.
It's all New Jersey.
And it's ridiculous because it's 30 days by law.
By law.
So
right.
You're ignoring the law as law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're buying the firearm for personal protection, a lot of people want a pistol for personal protection, even in their home. You're putting people's lives at risk.
Well, we've seen the result of that.
Yes.
Right here in this county. Was that in this county? Was it in Cumberland
was
County?
Was Carol Baum in this county?
John, do you know?
What was
Carol
it?
Baum? Was
Carol,
that?
No, that was closer to, I think, Camden County.
Camden County.
Yeah.
It's a little north of here.
But somehow they're actively breaking the law. Someone dies because they broke the law.
And no one cares.
And
there's crickets. No one really cares.
Yeah.
But you made national news for legally carrying your firearm. Yet someone murders a person every single day. You know, this past week we've had another issue in a gun-free zone in a community college. I'm just realizing that as I'm saying that we're sitting in a community college right now, which is a gun-free zone. Do you realize that the only security guard that was on at that community college wasn't even armed with anything other than a can of mace? And that one of the people who was a student there, who was a veteran, ran out to his car to get his firearm because he was not allowed to carry it inside of the school, was on his way back and was stopped by security telling him, you can't go in there with that firearm. There's people being murdered just over there. To which I say, you push them the hell out of the way. There is never a wrong time to do the right thing. And I think that's one of the things that we, you know, we're going to face here in this state at one point.
I was talking to someone about this latest thing, and he was talking about Obama's speech about we have to do something, the time is now. And I agree with him. We've given you enough chances. Your signs don't work.
Right.
You're banning me from being able to protect myself with a firearm does not work. So I have a plan. My plan includes national reciprocity. My plan includes if you're a business that has a no guns allowed sign, then you're responsible for the safety of everyone in that building.
Right. You better be providing an armed security for everybody. Or, you know what? I'm just not going into your establishment.
I think that's actually a really important point, Tony, is that having that gun-free zone sign doesn't relieve you from liability. It creates it.
There you go.
Yes, correct.
Now, once large chains like AMC get sued to oblivion because the shooting took place in there.
Right.
Either they'll take those signs down or they'll take security seriously.
Right.
One or the other, because obviously they don't. They put up a sign because their insurance company said put up a sign for a lower rate or even to get picked up. But everyone's life in that theater is at risk because they have no way to prevent anything from happening.
Because the terrorist and the psychopath who wants to do harm realizes it's like that shooting gallery that we have set up over there. No one's going to be shooting back at you. So you've got free rein to murder at will and try to get your name in the media, which is what this is really all about. So here's the President of the United States actually coming out and encouraging the media to report. You didn't hear about that veteran going to get his gun anywhere, did you?
No.
And you didn't hear about the veteran who stood up and took five or seven shots to try to, you know, direct hits from this guy to try to save the lives of other people. His name wasn't mentioned every 15 minutes. His background wasn't mentioned all the time. Nobody interviewed his neighbors. Nobody interviewed his family members. I'm sorry for your listeners, but the shitbag who goes in there, psychopath, goes in to shoot up the world and want to make a name for himself, that's who the media goes and makes a hero. And that is wrong. We are living in a very dark time, in a very dark society, and we need to change that. And the only way you're going to change that is not with more violence, but with love and understanding. And I know I'm going to get hate mail for that on my side.
Well, my thing that bothers me is the media holds no responsibility for what they do.
Absolutely.
They made the Boston bomber Man of the Year.
Yeah.
Put him on the cover of Time.
Time Magazine. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we're coming right back with the Bare Arms Podcast.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
Have been sealed to prevent escape. Please follow all instructions from the staff and do not make any sudden movements.
That's right, the bear is loose. I am here in Cumberland County College, free to roam.
You're doing a great job. John, I just want to take a moment to really, really say thank you for what you've done here today. It's a nice packed house. People are moving all over. Kids are running around.
An amazing job.
We have an eclectic group. We have almost everything represented here except for maybe Tibet and Somalia at the moment. And I grabbed
The attendees from North Korea were delayed by the security inspection, I believe.
I hate when that happens. I grabbed a guest for the show. He's a law student. He's a Gun for Hire alumni for many years now. He also was crazy enough to compete in the Spartan Super with us. And he completed as well. He finished. He got his medal and everything. I haven't heard him saying he wants to run the Beast or the Sprint or anything, so we'll see. But without further ado...
Did you kick his ass, Hisham?
Of course he did. It's actually Hish or Hisham.
Hisham.
Hisham. And the last name?
Oh, Hamid.
Hamid. And he's a law student, and he's also a gun guy, and he also happens to be Muslim. Yeah. And is he our first Muslim on the show? I think.
No, I don't think so.
No? Yeah. Maybe. Probably. Maybe not. I'm not sure.
All right, we'll say
he's
that.
Been listening since the beginning. He's been listening since the beginning, so he's probably the right. So I wanted to have you on because we're talking today about diversity and minorities and everything, and we're trying to be diverse here. So talk to us, my man.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that Muslim community here in America is a lot like the black community in the sense that, especially in the last 10, 15 years, we've been pushed towards the democratic left-wing very progressive side of America.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I would have to say because of the events that happened between 2000 and 2010, going into Iraq and the foreign policy that we've had that's been catastrophic, no matter who you are or what your opinion is on politics. I think we're all in agreement that our foreign policy has been horrible. And
no. We're just going to be the police of the world and fight everybody in the name of fighting everybody.
And then go from one side of the, you know, from Sunni to Shia, and back and forth.
Because we didn't learn
arming
our lesson.
People that no. we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't
we
learn
no
our
idea.
Lesson in Afghanistan in the 90s. We didn't learn our lesson there.
Nobody said I had to make sense, right?
No.
Right, right.
No.
But yeah, that's where we stand. But other than that, Muslims are just like any other faith community. Among us are the gun lovers. And there's a lot more than of us than people think.
I have a lot of Muslim people shoot at my range, family members, et cetera, et cetera. What happened is that for years in the New York metropolitan area, the Muslims were basically a shadow type religion that we knew existed. We didn't know too much about it. They didn't bother us. We didn't bother them. Then after September 11th and radical Islam and the media and everything, now all of a sudden everybody associates a burqa with a bad thing. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that's really not how it works. Am I right?
Absolutely.
It's got to be very difficult for you as a Muslim to being grouped in the fact that you're just as much a target as because you're not Muslim enough for radical groups like ISIS or ISIL, whatever they're calling themselves this week. There are Muslims, and a lot of people don't understand this, being slaughtered right now in Syria along with Christians because the Muslims are not Muslim enough.
In a sense, you're touching on something that's very relevant, because what you need to know about all these groups is they don't have scholars among them. Every religion has a clergy class, or at least where you go for religious knowledge. These groups don't have that.
Yeah,
they're ignorant, very much in that sense. But other than that, we're gonna, as American and civilized people, we're gonna dictate what is and isn't our religion in a very academic sense, from people who have studied,
John, what's your take on this? You're awfully quiet right now. Did you fall asleep?
No, it's not that I fall asleep. It's just, you know, unfortunately, this is an area that I have to claim a little bit of ignorance, because I'm just not up on.
It doesn't stop Anthony.
But I did claim ignorance because I said that it was basically a religion that was in the shadows, right, John? That's why you're claiming ignorance, because you don't have right, wrong, or indifferent with the Muslim community. For years, all I knew is that I used to go like to Union City and go to Turkish restaurants and eat Lebanese food and Syrian food and Muslim, any type of Muslim or halal type food, which is pretty ass kicking, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's basically all I knew about the culture. To me, it was no different than Buddhism, Hinduism.
We grew
or
up in such diverse communities that we all played with each other.
But my community was basically Protestants, Catholics, or Jewish.
And Jewish.
That's all I had exposure to as a child. So now here I am in my 40s and then my 50s, and there's Muslim populations growing up. So to me, but I never looked at them like, ew. I just looked at them like, well, I don't know. I don't understand.
Right.
And I really didn't care. But then somebody would say, go to one of their restaurants, and all of a sudden, I'm a fan now.
Yeah. Right. And the one thing it reinforces for me is how we have to be specific in our language when we're talking about the different issues that we're dealing with.
Correct.
You know, because it's so easy to use words that aren't specific, and everyone does it, because you have a shorthand for how you communicate. But if we're imprecise at times, then we might lead to misunderstandings between people. So,
I mean, look where it brought us. You're here today. You know, I have Tony Simon uses my place for the diversity shoot. The women are there for the Saw group. I've told Hisham, I said, if he ever wants to sponsor a Muslim shoot, right? Did I tell you that 2 weeks ago or whatever? I said,
Multiple times.
Let me know and we'll do it. My doors are open to anybody.
Right.
So, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted him on the show, because I'm sure we have Muslims that listen to the show. I know I have a ton that come to the range. You've seen them there to the range?
Well, let me hit on that point. When I wear Gun for Hire shirts, the jersey that I got from the Spartan race, I wear it in Brooklyn because I spend a lot of time in New York. And at least two people in the last couple of weeks have stopped me and said, hey, I go to that range. Oh, I've always wanted to go to that range. The reach that we have, both under your platform that you've developed over the last 20 years, and thank you for that, is just absolutely amazing.
And that's what we want. And I get it. They come in, whether they're from China and whether they're from the Middle East, we treat everybody the same. We have to.
Right. That's the point.
I know, but people are too pig-headed. Go ahead, John.
The important thing that I'm hearing from that is that you have to be able to empower people to engage with their own communities to spread that message.
Correct.
And it's, what's funny is this community, as diverse as it is the antithesis of, that means opposite,
that
Anthony.
Word. Thank you.
The opposite of the progressive community who the Muslims now, you're saying, Hish, are really aligning with the enemy, in a sense, to people who really want to keep their constituents down. Where we're a very accepting community, but we really suck at PR. We really do.
You know, the one question I'd have for you is, Do you find that the engagement is based on an interest in recreation, or is it about self-defense? Because, you know, I'm sure there's just as many self-defense issues going on in the Muslim community as there in any other.
Yeah. Well, 2 points on that. So as far as self-defense is concerned, anytime we have a politician speaking hate rhetoric filled with hatred, as we have, especially with the Republican primaries, you see a rise in hate crimes against Muslims.
Are you talking about Donald Trump?
I'm talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Ben Carson. And Ben Carson's really funny because he's saying Muslims can't be president, but we can own guns, that's fine, but we can't be president. It's a very mixed message.
It's a very, very strange message.
And every time he tries to explain it, he digs himself into a deeper hole. Right. So we'll see where that happens.
Sure, like the blacks used to have to worry about burning crosses. As a Muslim, when there's a problem, you have to worry about the hate crimes that follow that.
Yeah, it's an inevitable blowback from any time you have people who aren't watching what they say. As far as the other part of your question, I don't know if this answers it directly, but my personal vision for us is not that Muslim Americans start voting Democrat or Republican. I don't care whether it's one way or the other. I just want people that feel like they have the choice, that they can that they can vote however they want, they can exercise whatever they want, exercise whatever rights they have when they want to. And it's their choice.
I'm absolutely with you on that, because and people that have listened to my show can tell you, I am not interested in right, left, Republican, Democrat.
Right.
I, a long time ago, became very interested in Second Amendment rights, and I am a single issue person.
Single issue person, unfortunately. But, you know, I talk about this all the time with when I used to talk about diversity shoots and stuff. For me as a Caucasian Catholic to go into a Muslim community and try to rouse them up to come to my range and see what it's like, it's going to be very difficult. But for Hisham, it's not.
Right.
Okay? So everybody that comes in like him, that leaves my place with a happy face, that was treated equally like everybody else, he's going to tell 20 people, and those 20 people are going to tell 20 people, and that's really what it's all about.
See, and it's people like you, Anthony, that have an opportunity to correct some of the injustice that occurs on behalf of the government, because one of the continuing problems that we have as Muslim Americans is law enforcement's abuse of our trust. You'll have FBI and Homeland Security, they'll have a career event or something, but then they'll use the information they gather there against us. It's a big problem.
Well, you know how you solve that is you just go to a gun buyback program. It's because they don't take any information there whatsoever.
So that's what they're doing. They have a career event, but they're data mining. So they have a career event. They want people who speak like Farsi and stuff like that. So a lot of Muslim descent people will show up and basically just gave all their info to the government. Wonderful.
Yeah. Not every organization is as bad as the other, but that is a recurring theme throughout there. So that's something we need to look, you know, vigilant.
Isn't it amazing how such a small percentage can ruin it for the majority, though, with the radical Islamic people out there, just like the radical Catholics or Protestants or Jewish people or anything else? It's amazing.
I don't know too many radical Episcopalians. They got to be represented.
What's interesting to that point is that not only do every sect have their they're radicals, they're nut jobs, but the media also plays a role in that as well.
Of course.
That's going to be skewed. Of course,
yes. Because the fact that we get along and the fact that our community gets along, we'll never be on the cover of Time magazine. We will never be on the front page of the New York Times. In the newspaper business, if it bleeds, it leads. That's the phrase.
Yes.
So the only thing that they're going to go after, they're there to go after sensationalism. They're there to make a story. Not really. Journalism didn't used to be like that. Journalism used to be the opposite.
Now, you're a law school. What age group are you in?
I'm 23 right now.
23?
Yeah.
So you have a good chance of influencing a lot of people at your age. But how many people in the Muslim community have a fear of firearms or a fear of firearms ownership?
I don't think there's so much a fear of firearms ownership as it is not because of the firearm itself, but rather because of what list am I going to be on? Like, the average Muslim's thinking to himself, I'm already on 6 lists. I don't need to be on another one.
Sure.
So that's
especially in New Jersey. I think what you're hitting on too is the fact that New Jersey is like that. I bet you if you went to a different state, like Texas, I don't think it would be really as much of an issue as it is here.
Not at all. In different parts of the country, different Muslims have different experiences. I don't claim to speak for everybody. Other people have experienced racism, have experienced what I haven't. I've experienced nothing but open arms from Anthony and gunfire and all the other organizations here at the conference tonight. So,
and that's our common thread, because we have a common enemy. I can't be pissed off at you because of your religion. I'm trying to fight for my gun rights, and you're standing side by side with me.
Right. And we're locking arms together.
Correct. That's how I look at it. Who knows? Maybe if we solve the gun problems in the state, then we'd be fighting about who our God is or who our religion is. I don't know. But I don't have no time for that right now. Right. I'm busy, like John said. He's a single issue voter. That's where we have to be. We either hang together or we hang separately, as Benjamin Franklin said. So we have to fight this together. And again, to have you as a 23-year-old Muslim to go to Trenton with us is a beautiful thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a law student, too. He's not going to be able to be pushed around very easily because he's studying the law.
So what do you want to do as a law student? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about tax law, so hopefully I'll be able to come through in a couple of years and help you all save a bunch of money on your taxes.
Oh, very nice.
I like that.
We can put that to better use than where it's going now.
It's nice, because right now I'm employing like 5 criminal lawyers, so I got enough of those.
Wait, does that mean you're terrified of the flat tax? Like, that could...
No, not at all.
There's other accounting. Yeah. There's other accounting and other... things that accountants like Ainsley can do and things that tax lawyers can do, they would be much happier moving to something else.
No, the way I look at it is if I become a lawyer, a tax lawyer, I'm going to be fighting against something that I despise, which is taxes, at least to the absurd extent that they've blown up to. And if I became unemployed, I'd be happy. I'd find another line of work.
Right. There's plenty of ambulances.
That's it.
I do want to. Just saying.
There's a lot of lawyers around here. Just saying.
You know what's funny? He's a gun guy.
Regardless of his religion or his ethnic background. Exactly.
He's 23 years old, and I'm proud to call him my friend just by the way he speaks and he acts. Because how many 23-year-olds have their shit together like him that could be walking the show floor today with us, regardless of what their background is? Seriously, John. Am I right? I mean, seriously. And we need more like you. And it's your job out there to try to, you know, like I said, you can use my place for a diversity shoot or whatever we want to call it. It'll be cool, you know. I would love to have that. You know, I see, but again, being so close to New York, I see groups of people come in. And I'll say to people, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from Lebanon. We're from Syria, you know, originally. And again, the U.S., everybody's from somewhere else unless you're an American Indian. You know, they're the only ones that were here first, so... I get to see that diversity all day. Right. When I tell you my range looks like Noah's Ark, it looks like Noah's Ark.
Amen.
You agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. 2 of every color, size, shape, and background. Right. I don't care. They just keep coming in. At least 2. They just keep coming in, and they leave. I had this was the last night of Sukkot the other night for Jewish people, and there was a rabbi there, and he says to me, he goes, does anybody not leave your place with a smile on his face?
No, it's very hard.
That's what he said to me. There was kids running around all over the place. I had a Velcro to biatches up against the wall, but it was okay. I did good. But yeah, so I'm so glad that you're a part of what we do, and I can't believe you ran that crazy Spartan race with us. How long did it take you to finish?
I finished in 3 hours 17 minutes.
Wow!
I did it in 4 hours 9 minutes.
He's a maniac.
Yeah.
No, I just tagged along with one of the gunfire members who had run it before, and I just used their experience.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, for the Bare Arms listeners, that music means we're coming close to the end of our show. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to finish up with whatever announcements that you want to make, John?
Announcements. Any announcements?
Well, you know, we've been on hiatus for a while, and this episode here is going to mark our return to the podcasting world.
Sandra Muldoon, join in the microphone. Jump in.
Hello.
Hi, Sandy.
Segment.
Yep, this is it. We're on our way out.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on. We're still here.
So get rid of that music so we can talk.
Well, we're closing the show.
The music is still dragging
this
on.
This is it. Yeah, we're closing the show.
We're done?
We're done.
Sandra, say hi.
Hi.
That's it. Bye.
Get something in. Yeah, you have like any announcements that you're making?
No, I'm good. We have NAPIN October 16th. Protective Pen October 18th. Everything else is fine. Thank you all for supporting this organization. John,
on behalf of my brother, I'd like to invite everyone to visit integrityarmory.com. If you live anywhere in the northwestern part of the United States, you'd be very interested in talking to you about some firearms training or signing up for second call defense.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, and the licensed Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Anthony Calandro, and the Willett Brothers, and Sandy, I'm so sorry that we didn't make it, but we do love you guys. Thank you, Bear Arms folks, for putting up with our nonsense and listening to a lot of profanity. Okay, we love you guys. See y'all next week. John, you want to say anything?
Like some... No, peace out, man.
Oh, peace out. All right, babe. Winston, it is all up to you, my friend. Close the show. We'll see you guys next week.